You have to go find the bottom. Here? You can hear me? Okay. You have to go find the bottom of the Fremen. Habogeris, Aim Latanat the Suda. Namely, we're returning to our Rhysos. And we have over here on Daf Lamed Vav. And in the case, in the course of dealing with different women, one of the women who was dealt with, Hachireshes Hashota Habogeres, Ein Lehem Tanat Besulin. Pashtus, that means that because she is older, she's then Besulin disappear with age. Amar Rav Bogeres Nosim La Laila Rishona. Now we have a whole sugya in Nida that the night of that when a woman gets married and she's going to Sidam, we always have a question, is Dam Nida or is Dam Musulim? Dam Lim is Dam Maka. Meikar Hadin is not Dam Nida. So we have a Mishnah Rishona that says different women are allowed to be tola in Dam Maka, in the Dam Besulim, for different periods of time. A Ketana has a period of time, a Bogeret has a period of time, etc. But the moment that we're giving it her a period of time, it means that she has Dam Besulim. That seems to be a stira to our Braisa. So the Gemara answers, Idika Toin, Tainas Damim, Hachinami, Achamayas Kinan, Idika Toin, Tainas Pesach Pasuach. Namely, that as you saw, Tosa sent you back to the first perek. Within the first perek, we have two examples, two types of Tainas Besulin. One is that the husband claims that there was no dam, there was no blood on the sheets. And second, that he felt that the area was open, it was Pesach Pasuach. So, Pashtus of the Gemara, according to our Girsa, Rashi's Girsa, Hachi Yar Sinan, is that the Bogeret has Dam Besulin. However, we assume that, one second, when we say in our Braisa, Ein Lo Ta'anas Besulin, it means that it's hard to tell in the Bogeret, because of her age, whether we have a Pesach Pasuach or whether we have a Pesach Satum. Okay? So that, in other words, so then everything is fine according to Rashi. That the Mishnah in Nida is pointing out that she has Dam Besulim, so she has Dam Makah. So we'll assume that all the bios of the night of the marriage, the blood, is Dam Makah. We expect her to bleed. Masha Enkein, in the world of Pesach Pasuach, there, a husband can't claim it felt open because by a Bogeret, it always feels more open. However, Rabbeinu Chanan El Yisro over here in Tosfos has the opposite Girsa. And it's not only Rabbeinu Chanan El, but in the margin, it points out that was the Girsa of the Aruch. We looked in the Rambam, you saw that the Girsa of Rabbeinu Chanan El is also the Girsa of the Gaonim. The Rambam has two Shitos, his Shita and the Shita of the Gaonim. And that it works in the other direction, that the Bogeret generally does not see blood. We shouldn't expect to see blood. However, we should expect to find Pesach Satur. And so, firstly, we're going to have to understand this in the context of Daf Tesem and Aleph, and then see how it fits into our sugya. So, if we go back for a moment to Daf Tesem and Aleph, we find over there a statement. Many yeshivas begin learning suvas from Daf Tesem and Aleph. That's where it came. The lumdus of suvas begins with the world of Sveik Sveika. The top line on Daf Tesem and Aleph is Omer Pesach Pasuach Matzasi Ne'eman Lo Osra Alav. So Rashi and Tosos are bothered over here. Why Aser the woman with such a subjective ta'ana? What about simply checking whether there was blood or there wasn't blood? So Rashi says, Tanas damim ein lo, kegon shehi mishkachat dur tiki, ein lohem dam besulim, ne'ev damim eno, you have to have a nukimta of a certain family that doesn't have dam besulim, or it was lost. Tosfos says, Rabbeinu Chanan has a very, very simple answer, that according to Rabbeinu Chanan el Girsa, on our sugya, the Bulgaris doesn't have damim. So the only taina that a husband has in terms of a bogeres is Pesach Pasuach Matzati. So any time you marry a girl who's 13 years and older, you can be towing Pesach Pasuach, but there's no way of checking in terms of whether there is dam. Even if there's not dam, Yitachen the bogeres doesn't have dam. So it fits very, very nicely into the sugya over there on Daf Tesamet Aleph. But let's come back to our sugya. When we come back to our sugya, how exactly does it fit in? What does it mean? Nos dimla laila rishona. According to Rashi, she has dam besulim. The bogeret has dam besulim, so we'll assume all the dam of laila rishona is dam besulim. But according to Ben Chananel, we just said she doesn't have dam besulim. So what does it mean? Nos dimla laila rishona. So Rabbeinu Tam, back over there on Daf Tes Amud Aleph, explains Rabbeinu Chananel that by a bogeris it doesn't mean she definitely doesn't have damim. It means you shouldn't expect to see damim. Sometimes yes, sometimes no. But since sometimes she has damim, so we are told that the dam of Laila Rishona in that possibility of dam. Namely, as opposed to Rashi, that we have clear-cut categories. The Bogeret definitely has dam. And on the other hand, the Bogeret definitely, the husband should find Petach, the Bogeret definitely has dam, but the husband should not expect to find Petach Satum by the, according to Rabbeinu Chananel, the Bogeret definitely should have Petach Satum. That's why the Tana, Daf Tesamet Aleph, deals with the Bogeret. However, in terms of dam, maybe yes, maybe no. Namely, so those who are learning Hilchos Nida, this should be somewhat familiar to you. What if a woman says, I have a makah, but also makam, and she wants to be told that the dam that she is seeing is not dam that came about from Tashmish, but rather dam that came about from the makah, but also makam. Does that makah have to be vadai motzi adam, or only safik motzi adam? That we saw as a machlokas between the Machaber and the Ramah in Siman Kuf Pei Zayin, Sif Hey. Namely, and that's the machlokas over here between Rashi on one hand and Rabbeinu Chananel according to Rabbeinu Tam on the other hand. According to Rashi, we're only told that dam besulim the first night because vadai we have a makah ba'osa makam. Every Bulgaris has dam. According to Ben Chananel, it's enough that some Bulgarot have dam, that we can be told that the entire first night in the Re'iyah of that Makkah, that maybe that Makkah is what's giving us the blood, as opposed to this being dam nida. Okay? Anyone have any other questions on this Tosfos? Tosfos then moves on to explain, in other words, everything I said up to now was up to the word perashti, because Perashti means back over there on Daf Tesamet Aleph. Tosfos just points out that if really, according to Rabbeinu Tam and Rabbeinu Chananel, we have this din of Bogeret, that definitely there should be Petach Satur, and maybe there should be Dam, Tosfos assumes that since the Braisa says Bogeret Umukat Eitz, they have the same halacha, that even a mukat eitz maybe has dam, but definitely there should be a petach satur. So Tosfos was bothered. If you recall, we had a stira in the Braisos in terms of the chereshet and the shota, and our question was, according to Tosfos, whether they were a mukat. In other words, the assumption was that, according to Rabbi Gamliel, I'm sorry, maybe the other way around. And the Gemara said that it's a machlokas Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yoshua. And what's the sheet of Rabbi Yoshua? That every chereshet and shota are really a mukat eitz. That's the sheet of Rabbi Gamliel. So Tosis asks, why set it up? One mission is like Rabbi Gamliel, one bright is like Rabbi Gamliel, and one bright is like Rabbi Yoshua, and they disagree whether mukat eitz is shliach or not. Why not set them both up like Rabbi Gamliel? However, the mukat eitz would be like the bogeret, that she would maybe have blood, but she definitely should have a petach satur. And so the one b'raisa is talking about where the Baal was towing Pesach Pasuach Matzati, and the other b'raisa is talking about where he was towing Go Matzati Dam. So anyway, that's what bothers Tosis at the end. And Tosis points out correctly, not that he needs me to tell him it's correctly, but that we always have to deal with two issues. One issue is whether the woman gets her ksuva, and the second is whether she's forbidden on the husband. The sugya by us, Lamed Vava Belef, is talking about ksuva. Whether she yesh latanat besulim, ein latanat besulim, in terms of the ksuva, that's where we brought in Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yoshua. The sugya over there on Daf Tesamet Aleph is talking about that this woman will become usur on her husband. And yitachen that we have different standards in terms of these two results. You can't ask from one to the other. Okay. In any case, we have over here these two girsaot. Simply from a historical perspective, it's clear that there was a girsa that was an old girsa, kachayas, kasub isvarim, of Rabbeinu Hananel and the Gaonim and the Rif, and then a new girsa rose, that of Rashi, the Rambam, etc., that makes life much easier in terms of understanding the sugya. Our sugya, the sugya on Daf Tes, fits in nicer according to Rabbeinu Hananel. Okay? So, third line. Subchas Omer Mishum Rav Meir, Suma Ein Latanat Besulin. Why in the world should a blind woman be different than a woman who sees? My time at Sumchus, I'm Reb Zeira, Mishum Shenechbetet, Agabi Karka. The Summa tends to fall. So Gemara says, Kuhu Nabe, Chavute, Machabte. What are we talking about? We're talking about girls up to the age of 12 and a half. We're talking about girls who are not above growth. In other words, all girls tend to play rope and they fall. Everyone tends to fall. So the Gemara distinguishes Kulu Roos, that if a girl falls, she'll see blood, and then she'll run to her mother. What's going on? Umaros Leiman. Zo, the Suma, Eino Roa, she's unaware that there is blood. The Eino Mara Leima. So there's nothing for her to go running to her mother because she's not aware that she has an issue. What is halachically the difference over here between a normal girl and a girl who is blind? So here we have a machlokis between Rashi and Tosfos. Rashi learns the Gemara, again Kipshuta, that a girl who falls, sees blood, goes to her mother, uposkos aleihem, shein on besuchos, and the mother says that you fell and you broke your betulim and you're no longer a betula. So this is something which is known by the girl, it's known by her family, it's something that should have been brought up in the shidduch profile, not necessarily put it online, but some point before the girl got married, this is something that the father, the husband, should be aware of. And if the husband wasn't aware of it, even though it was common knowledge in the girl's house, she knew it, her mother knew it, what do we call that situation? That's mekach tolos. That's improper. In other words, you know that there is a issue, that there's a defect in the item which is being transferred in the girl, and you hide it. That's a mekach tolos. That's why, according to Simchus, by a regular girl, you have a tainus besulin. The husband says, I don't understand. Where is the dam besulin? Where is the pesach pasuach? But by a suma, ain't tainus besulin, because she was unaware. And her family was unaware. It's a very, very clear pshat in the Gemara. Why does Tosfos disagree? because Sumchus over here is not a lone ranger. Who is Sumchus quoting? Sumchus Omer Mishum Rav Meir. Sumchus is quoting this din in the name of Rav Meir. If Sumchus is quoting this din in the name of Rav Meir, so we have to see how this fits in with Rav Meir. And we saw back on Daf Yud Gimel Amud Aleph that Rav Meir holds that a mukas eitz bein hikirba bein lo hikirba. How much is a ksuva? Matayim. Namely, that this is not considered to be a relevant factor in terms of ksuva. Let's say you go ahead and you want to buy a Stradivarius. That's what's called the violin. I get it wrong. I pronounced it wrong. What? You want to buy a very expensive violin, and you get the violin, and there's a scratch on the case of the violin. You can't claim the kachtos. In other words, that's not the ikar of the violin. That's something which is external. According to Rav Meir, mukas eitz is like a scratch on the violin case. It's not something that that has to be necessarily told to the husband. It's something which is very common, that there is a situation of mukas eitz. Husbands are aware of it. They're happy that their wives, when they were young, were jumping around and playing and falling, etc. It means that they were healthy, right? That they were healthy, normal girls. And so it's not something that has to be necessarily told to the husband. So then there's no din of mekachtos, according to Rav Meir. So why do we distinguish between the Suma, who's not aware that she's a mukas eitz, and the girl who is aware and doesn't proclaim it, doesn't say it black and white? This is not an important factor. It's not something that should break a shidduch. It's like if she went to Kim Sternberg instead of Tamora Shah. That should break a shidduch, right? With my afgamina in terms of who the girl is. So who had dinner? She's a mukaseitz. It shouldn't break the shidduch. Okay. So what then? What then is Tosus is pshat? So Tosus says, "V'nira l'ri dehachi perusho kulhu ro'os umaros le'iman v'yodos shehein mukas eitz shimosehen magidos lehen." It starts off like Rashi. This is common knowledge by a seeing girl, that she's going to run to her mother. Her mother will tell her, "Yira mukas eitz ulahachi." When the husband goes to the family and says, "What's going on over here?" The he omeres besula hayisi ain lanu litlos b'mukas eitz shim kena yisa omeres mukas eitz ani the chi lo amra mukas eitz ani yeshla ta'anas besula. Namely, that since the girl knows that she's a mukas eitz, and she has the opportunity of telling the husband before they get married, she didn't. And then the husband says, "What's going on? Where's the blood?" And she says, "I'm a besula." She doesn't say she's a mukas eitz. Then it's as though she's moda that she's not a mukas eitz. So if she's moda, she's not a mukas eitz, then how? What happened to the besulim? Kanereh that she's a drus asish. Kanereh she was intimate. And if she was intimate, that's the reason she loses her ksuva. She loses her ksuva because she wasn't a besula. Namely, not she loses her ksuva because she's a mukas eitz but didn't tell her. No, according to Rav Meir, that's not a relevant factor. But the moment that she could have said, without any issue, "I'm a mukas eitz," and she didn't say it, then she is admitting the kanereh, there must be something else in the picture. Masha'in came, the Suma is unaware that she's a mukas eitz. So she couldn't be toenet that she's a mukas eitz. That's why we say the Suma will assume she's a mukas eitz. But a regular girl, had she been a mukas eitz, she would have told the husband. Those are the two perushim in the sugya. Yes?
Just trying to make sense of this. Why, when the normal one goes to the mother, how does the mother know that it's not damida, for example? Like,
she's a ktana. She's a ktana. The mother also probably took her to the doctor. Like every good mother takes everyone to the doctor. The mother took her to Terim, and they were bodek in Terim, and they said, "She's a mukas eitz." Okay.
And also, if I have a cut on my thumb, for example, I'm not, my eyes might be shut and I couldn't see it, but I could definitely feel something. So
yeah.
Much of that, I mean, that could also be, there's other ways to sense that there's dam, even if, like, you know, you might not see it, but you could also feel it.
You're asking on whom?
Or
what?
Mind,
on whom?
Suma.
On the Suma? I'll tell you chavercha ad shetagilu makomo. I have no idea what a Suma does feel, seriously, and what a Suma doesn't feel. The Gemara says that a Suma would not run to her mother because when they're playing, the kids would say, hey, you're bleeding. But so the girl would run to her mother, or the girl would feel that she's bleeding. I don't know. Kind of read that the Suma does not feel, don't know. Does not feel, or is not aware that it's something she has to tell her mother. Yeah?
One possible suggests that maybe a possible difference between the Suma and the normal girl who sees is that the girl who sees is seeing something right away. And some of the girl is blind. Her mother is doing her laundry. She's going to see something on her clothing. And if she's a katana, there could be a tzlita. I mean, I'm just bothered by the fact that both the mothers are going to eventually see. But the difference between the two is one can possibly tell the mother now. The other's going to maybe not feel anything until later. And the mother can see her clothing later.
The Gemara, for some reason, is assuming maybe that the Suma does her own laundry. I don't know what the mitzvah is. I'm just working off of the Gemara that it says that by the normal girl who sees, then we have a yediyah that she's a mukateitz. According to Rashi, the fact that she doesn't pass on that yediyah, that's a mekach tos. It's a beautiful pshat of the Gemara. The problem is Rav Meir. Had it simply said sumpa soma, everything would have been fine. Tosus was bothered. But this Gemara is according to Rav Meir. According to Rav Meir, this is not an important factor. So Tosis has to come on to say that the fact that she knows she's a mukatzeitz and doesn't explain to her husband that this situation, that is a hodah that she's not a mukatzeitz. And then, by process of elimination, if she's not a mukatzeitz, and she's not a bogeret, and she's not a chereshet, and she's not a shota, so she's a drusasish. So she, Kanereh, was intimate with a young man, that she had relations with someone, and that's why now the husband is claiming Pesach Pasuach Matzati. That's what the Gemara is pointing out. The issue that I sent you to the Ritva is that what's Masha from this Gemara, and we pointed this out already in the last Shir, is that the concept of Mukas Eitz is something which appears to be very shchiach, right? That it appears that in a society where kids run around, mukas eitz is something which is very, very, which is very, very probable, and therefore, we're working off of this gemara of kulhu, all girls nami chavute mechavta. The problem is when you go back to daftesim and aleph, let's go back together. The Gemara over there points out that the husband says, Pesach Masuach Matzati Ne'eman Ra'os Olav. Gemara asks why. Sof, isn't there a sfeika? Let's assume worst case scenario that this woman is a Drus Asish, that she was intimate, but we don't know when it happened. Sofek Tachtav, in order to aser her, it means that she was Mizaneh, post Erusin. So that's one option, but maybe she was simply sowed her wild oats before Erusin. And then in Achiname, she's not necessarily going to write Eishes Chayil about her, but, you know, she's not usher to her husband. She's not usher to her husband. A. B. Even if it happened post Erusin, Safek Ones, Safek Ratzon. She's only usher to her husband if she was intimate post-marriage, Baratzon, this was her will. Had she been raped, if it was Ones, then she wouldn't be Asur. So why do we say that the husband with this Taina of Pesach Pasuach is Ne'eman Lo'osrelov? So Gemara says, Lo Tzricha Be'eshes Kohen. An Eishes Kohen has a unique Chumrah that even if she is raped in marriage, she becomes Asur to her husband. So the second suffix falls off. Or we're talking about a situation where she was a katana when she got married, and then the ones and the ratzon also, and then we don't have the suffix tachtov, suffix lo tachtov, because had she been intimate before marriage, it wouldn't have impacted on her besugah. So all the Rishonim ask, just a minute, if our sugya says mukat eitz is shliach, don't we have another suffix, even by an Ashes Kohen, even by a katana, maybe she's a mukas eitz. Suffix tachtav, suffix eno tachtav, the imtim tzilomar tachtav, maybe she's a mukas eitz. Suffix, that ones suffix beratzon, even if it was Baratza, maybe it was a Mukaseitz. Namely, why isn't Mukaseitz brought over here into the Gemara as a suffix if it's something which is so Shchiach? That's the question that the Rishonim asked. That's what the Ritva relates to. So over here, I didn't ask you to look at it, but if you just look a minute with me, on the bottom of Tosos Iramasil V'Ibo Yisema Daf Tesemet Aleph, Tosfos, it's about 15 lines from the bottom of the page. It says, V'yim tomar akati b'eshes kohen v'kibir avia kedushin p'chusim v'as gimel k'sveik sveika suffik mukas eitz suffik drus as ish v'chule. Why isn't that brought up? So Tosfos over there says, maybe this is going like Rabbeinu Hananel. We pointed out that Rabbeinu Hananel says that a Bogeres and a Mukas Eitz are both have the same category, that they may or may not blood, but they definitely should have Petach Satur. And so here the husband says Petach Batuach, so it can't be Mukas Eitz. That's Lashitas Rabbeinu Hananel. And then Tosus points out that, had she been a Mukas Eitz, even if it's Shriach, why is she hiding it? Why isn't she disclosing it? Why isn't she telling us? There's no Gnai. Nothing is wrong. She played when she was a kid. Nothing wrong with playing hopscotch or jump rope or whatever girls play. In other words, maybe someone threw a dollar at her. I don't know. In other words, there's nothing wrong with playing when you're a kid. And so why didn't she tell us? The husband says, what's going on? Where are you pursuing? Why doesn't she tell us? So she doesn't tell us. That's like a hodah, she's on a mukaset. But the Ritva offers two other answers. The Ritva is both on Daf Tes and in our sugya. So I asked you to look at the Ritva in our sugya on Daf Lamed Vav Amid Beis. And the Ritva says that after quoting Tosfos, he says, Chitema, the Chavata, the Hasharas Besulim, Shriach, Avo Mukat Itz, Lo Shriach, Mikomakom Nechush Le Nechbeta. V'yeshlamar de kevan de roos umaros le'iman ki shchiach kala islay le'milsa. So the syntax is very, very difficult. In the most out of Rav Kook Ritva, in the footnote he sends you to a tshuva of the Rashba that Adam had seen. But it's clear that the Ritva understands before he quotes his Rebbe's brother. Right, he's about to quote Rav Pinchas Halevi, Achiv Shel Rabbeinu. And with the Ritva's Rebbe was Rav Aharon Halevi, the Ra'ah. And Rav Aharon Halevi had a brother named Pinchas Halevi. So before he quotes his Rebbe's brother, he wants to make a distinction that there are two types of injuries. There's an injury we'll call a chavata, and there's an injury that we're going to call mukas eitz. And the difference between these two types of injury is a twofold difference. Chavata is simply a bang. In other words, it could be that she fell off a stair, she tripped, etc., and felt hard. And that bang could bring about hasharas habasulim. That's something, A, that is very common, that a girl will trip on a stair. And B, if it happened that way, there's no gnai. There's nothing wrong about telling your husband, when I was 7 years old, I was playing with my friends, I tripped, and I ran to my mother, and it turns out that I'm a mukatet. But there's another type of an injury called a mukat eitz, which means specifically that some foreign body entered into the area of the besulim and tore the besulim. Okay, that is A, uncommon, and B, that is also something that is very uncomfortable for the girl to tell over to her husband, that there was something else before her husband was intimate, something else entered into that area. And so you could say that mukat eitz is lo shliach, and that's why the Gemara didn't bring it on daf tes amud aleph. Chavata is shliach, and that's our Gemara on daf lamed vav amud beis. That's the direction of the Ritva, to try and say that they have these two types of injuries. But then he quotes his Rebbe's brother, who has a more elegant answer. V'harav Pinchas Halevi Achim Shel Rabbeinu Piresh D'Tarti Ko'amar Kuhu Ro'os V'lo Shchiach L'chu Habata Ki Yesh Lehem Einayim Lir'ot U'Lehishamer U'Kishenoflot Mar'ot L'Iman V'Yisrei Kola L'Milsa Avol Zo Eino Ro'a U'Shchiach B'Habata V'Eino Mar L'Ima V'Les L'Kola. That really, we don't have to say there are two types of injuries. We simply say there are two types of girls. There are girls who see, and there are girls who are blind. By girls who see, the chavata is also unusual, that a girl will fall. Most girls, you know, it's ezel chacham haroe tonolai. Jewish girls are chachamot. They see what's coming up. So they see that a stair is missing. They'll jump over it. The suma can't see the stair is missing, so the suma is much more likely to be injured than a regular girl. That's something that, in other words, that the difference is shchichus, that regular girls, it's not shchich that they're injured. And were they to be injured, they would immediately tell their mother, and it would be common knowledge. Therefore, again, according to Rashi, we have mekachtos. They should have told the husband. According to Tosfos, we have kilu ahodah, that they weren't injured, because otherwise, why not say it? But by the Summa, here we have a double whammy. A, it's much more likely that she fell, and B, she wouldn't be aware of the consequences of her fall. So then, the question falls off. Our whole question was, doesn't it seem from our Gemara that Mukas Eis is Shliach? So the answer of Tosfos, we saw back there, was that in Achinami it's Shliach, but it's something that she should have told the husband. The answer of the Ritva is that Mukas Eitz is not Shliach. Either it's not Shliach in general, or it's not, that's the Ritva's own Teretz, or it's not Shliach by girls who see. That's the Teretz of the Rebbe of the Ritva. And therefore, we can't ask for Mukas Eitz on the Sugya over there, on Daf Tes Amud Aleph, because really Mukas Eitz is not Shliach. Okay. Yes, Yitzchak.
So I want to question that premise for a second, because there's so many women that are like that are mukat eitz that can see it. It does seem to be so prevalent. Even, I mean, to say that it's not common for people who can see, it seems to be the other way.
We have a focus Rishonim. There are Rishonim like Tosfos who learned the sugya over here, Kipshuta. That mukat eitz kulhu roos, that they all fall, they all see, and it really is shchiach. But since there's no gnai, why not tell the truth? Why hide it? That's Tosfos' direction. The direction of the Ritva is really Mukat Eitz is not Shachiach. It's really not Shachiach. It's only Shachiach by the either we distinguish there are two types of injuries. There's an injury which is Shliach, but that's not Mukat Eitz, but that a foreign body would enter into her body exactly at that angle, etc., and tear the psulim, that's not Shliach. Or what the Rebbe of what his Rebbe's brother pointed out, that only by a suma it's more shchiach that she would fall because she can't see that which could cause her injury. Ma'ashen came by a regular girl, it would not be shchiach. So it's a machlokes rishon. Okay, the Gemara then continues over to a new category. Hayotzeis mishum shemra. Hayotzeis mishum shemra. That's brought in the Braisa. Right? Suma, Ilanus, Sumchus, da da da. Where is this? Which Bryce is this? All the way back. Thank you very much. Okay, going back. Thank you. B'daf Lamed Hamid Beis. Hamama Enes in la Knas v'lo Pitui. Ilanus in la Knas v'lo Pitui. Hayotzeis Mishum Shemra in la Lo Knas v'lo Pitui. Thank you. Okay, so we have this woman who is Yotzeis Mishum Shemra. What is the Havamina of the Gemara? Who is this woman who is Yotzeis Mishum Shemra? We have a story in the Torah of a woman who gets married and her husband claims that she was not a besula, that she was mizana. And so the story in the Torah ends where her parents bring proof that she was a besula. And then the husband gets malkos for being motzi shemra on his wife, right? And he has to pay a knas to the parents. And if they want him to live with her, he'll have no alternative but to live with her. That's the scenario of the Torah. However, maybe there's a scenario that sometimes husbands are right. Sometimes the husband was correct, that he caught this girl in a situation that she hoped she would not be caught, that she was really mizana, and therefore he divorces her. Hayotzeis, he divorces her. And Hayotzeis Mishum Shemra, that's the woman who we say, Ein la Knas v'lo Pitui. So the Gemara asks, Hayotzeis Mishum Shemra Bas Sekilahi. What over here is the Gemara asking? What is the scenario that the Gemara is setting up? Rashi is unusually quiet, but Tosfos, if you look over at Tosfos, Hayotzeis Mishum Shemra Bas Sekilahi, we have two perushim. We have one perush in the Tosfos Yeshanim, and another in the little Rashi print, at least in my Gemara, and another perush in Tosfos itself. What is the perush of the Tosfos Yeshanim? Nearly, the Metzinam Lefaresh, Bas Skilahi, the Kamalei Bidderabamine. Upshita, the Meresha, the Braisa, Shamin and La. What's going on over here? When did this pitui or ones happen to this woman? According to Tosfos Yeshanim, if he speaks about Kamalei Midrabamine, it means that this woman is Chayav Misa. when is she chayav misa with an act of bia?
She's married.
She married Reuven, right? Their Eirusin was Rosh Chodesh Iyar. They plan to get married a year from now on Rosh Chodesh Iyar, Tavshin Ayin Vav. The Chatuna is a year from now, and the husband claims Pesach Pasuach Matzati Ein Damin. He claims one of the two Ta'anot, and it's checked, and it's found out that really, in the course of the year, she was either Ne'eneset or Befuta. That somehow, during the course of this year, she was raped or she was seduced. Now, who was she during the course of the year? She was a Na'ara Mu'urasa. She was engaged to someone. So we're dealing with a woman who is married, Alpi Halacha, who is being raped or seduced. So if she's being seduced, who over here is Chayev Skila? She and the Boel. Right? In other words, this was an act of mutual ratzam. If she was ne'enas against her will, so who is Chayev Skila? The Boel. But once the Boel is Chayev Skila, according to Sishan, what should he be pater?
Knas.
That's the case. Hayotzeis mishum shemra. If it turns out that this woman was mafuta or ne'eneset after she was at mu'reset, and the husband therefore divorced her because she, in other words, lived with someone post erusin and she didn't tell anyone. So in this case, there is no knas. Why is there no knas? Because of kamlei midrabamine. Because the boel, whether he was an ones or whether he was mefateh, so he is chayev misa. He's chayev misa, so there's no mama. That's Tosfos Yeshanim. And he says, and the Gemara asks on that, Hayos Mishum Shemra Baskili, that's Pshita. Isn't that obvious? Doesn't everyone know the din of coming with Dramine? Because what do we have over there in the Braisa along with that statement? What's the next line of the Braisa? Arayos. Shnios Arayos. Those are cases of Kamlei Midrabamine. And so isn't that? That's the way Tosfos Yeshanim went to learn the case. Tosfos says nothing doing. Tosfos says, Upshita to lav bas knasi, the habu ula vadhihi. Tosfos says, we're dealing with a woman who got married, Arusa. A year later, she had her chatuna. The husband checked, and no dam besulim, no pesach pasuach. He claims that she was mezana. The parents can't bring any proof that she was not mezana. He's megarisher. And now, what does she go ahead? Now she goes ahead and lives with someone else. Ones, pitui. And so we say that this woman is a ba'ula. She doesn't get knas. Only a basula gets knas. We know she's a ba'ula. There was pesach pasuach matzati. There was no da. And Tosfos says, and if you want to learn like Tosfos Yeshanim, aval ein lefarish hoil v'yesh chiyuv skila laba aleha pshita de ein la knas to come drab me day, like Tosfos Yeshanim wanted to learn the hakatani mas nisin haba albito ule'el nami katani arayos bebraisa. That's not pshita. If a mishnah has to tell us something, that's not pshita. The din of kabbavid rab minay is a mishnah. You're going to say on the mishnah pshita that if a husband lives with his daughter, or if a father lives with his daughter, then there's no knas pshita. Kabbavid rab minay is a halacha, so you can't come on and say pshita. So the Tosfos Yeshanim has the last word in the next brackets. Mishum siyuma de milsa damar. I'm sorry, back on top. Upshit on the first, if you had the last words in that first keta. Upshit on the meresha de braisa shaminanla. In other words, forget about the mishnah. It's in the same braisa. Next line of the braisa is arayos. So that's why it's pshit. In other words, you don't need a separate cause for Kamud Rabine, we already have it in the word Arayos. Okay, so we have back and forth two options. Namely, one option is that the Yotzeis Mishum Shemra, and this is the way 90% of Rishonim learn. Yotzeis Mishum Shemra, in the Havamin of the Gemara, is because she is a Bu'ula, and Tosis Yeshanim learns because of Kamud Midrabamine. Amar Absheshis, Hachi Ka'amar. So l'chor the Braisa wouldn't be telling us something that is obvious. What's Hachi Ka'amar? Mi shi yotza alei shemla b'yaldusa ein lalo knas velo pitui. Wow. So Rav Sheshis says that we have over here a tremendous chiddush, that if we had a girl who had a reputation of being loose, that already is enough to remove from her the possibility of getting knas. In other words, she had a reputation of being loose, and now she claims that so-and-so raped her.
Sorry.
So-and-so seduced her. So what? Her reputation will be enough to get her status of being a ba'ula. That's what the Gemara seems to say. Amar Rav Sheshis, Hachi Gemara. Mi shi yatsa aleha shemra b'yaldusa ein la knas velo pitui. Amar Rav Papa, if what you're saying is true, then haishtar raya o magdina la hechi dami. We have a concept that if you have a shtar on which there are rumors, you can't use that shtar to collect money. If there are rumors that the shtar, there was hanky panky in the shtar, hechidami ilem benafa kala alei the shtar dezayfahu the kavasei hacha nafa kala kala dezanoi. Is that really true? Hama Rava yatsa l'shem zana b'yer ein choshishin la. That Rav Sheshis and went too far, says Rav Papa. Rav Sheshis went too far. Rav Sheshis says they were going to knock off her claim of knas because of her reputation. Would we knock off the ability of a shtar to collect because there's a rumor? Rumors are enough to knock off abilities to collect money? That's going too far. Rava says black on white that even if she had a name of being loose, ain't choshishin lo. That doesn't take her away the fact that she has a cheskas besulin. Okay, that even girls who are loose doesn't mean that definitely they're not a besula. And so therefore, that's not shot over here in our Braisa. So who then is the Yotzeis Mishum Shemra? It's not the woman who was divorced because she lied to her husband and she had relations. It's not that woman, no matter how you want to learn that woman, like Tosfos Yishanim or like Tosfos, because that's Pshita. On the other hand, to say we're talking about a regular woman who has a bad rumor about her, that's going too far. So how do you go between going too far and Pshita? Okay, so the Gemara offers a middle of the road approach. Ella da'asu betre, two edim come to Bezdin. Va'amri lididhu tav inhi be'isura, that she offered the two of us to be intimate with her. She told us that she wants to have relations with each of us. That is the case where this woman is going to lose her knas. And similar, the kavasa hacha, da'asu betre va'amre lididhu amar lahu zayfuli. So the case of the shtar is a similar case where two people come and say, so-and-so asked us to sign a shtar on a loan we never saw. He wants us to sign that we saw that Reuven owes him $100. We never saw Reuven owes him $100. He wanted us to lie for him. So in such a situation, a shtar that says that Reuven owes him $100 is going to be a shtar that we're not going with. That's the shtar ra'ayah. That's the shtar that is, that has a reyusa. So we have a woman who has a reyusa because she offered herself to two eidim, and we have a shtar who has a reyusa because it was offered to two eidim to sign improperly. So Gemara asks, how can you compare? Bishlama hasam shchichei prutzen. in the case of the woman, these two people said no to her. But unfortunately, probably there are other people who said, great, thanks, you know, for the opportunity, looking forward. And so therefore, she doesn't get her knas, because these two individuals pointed out that this was her norm of asking people to be intimate with her, and it's likely that she found individuals who would take her up on the offer. Elohacha, imhu huchzak. Here, what are we saying? That the person who wants the shtar to be written is huchzak kafran. He is vadai a liar. He is vadai a thief. He is vadai an individual who can't be trusted. But kol Yisrael mi huchzaku. But if he comes with a shtar signed by two people, we're going to assume those two people lied. Why should we assume that two people lie? Im hu huchzak kol Yisrael mi huchzaku. Achanami kevon dekom ahadir aziyufa. Emar ziyufa zayifikas. As the Gemara says, since this fellow who wants the shtar to be written is a crook, we're afraid if he couldn't find Edim that would sign the shtar improperly, he himself went ahead and forged the shtar, forged two signatures on the shtar in order to be able to collect money illegally. So everything has to do with this one person, like everything has to do with this one woman. That's the shaklavataria of the Gemara. So this woman that went over to two people and asked them to live with her, why doesn't she get a knas? What's pshat in the sugya? Why doesn't she get a knas? What does Rashi say? Because we assume that she's a ba'ula. We assume that even though she didn't manage to become a ba'ula with these two edim, but there are many preetzei. There are many people who would be happy to live with a girl without responsibility, and so we assume she's a ba'ula. Okay? That's pshat in the Gemara according to everyone but whom? Who is the only one who learns differently? So here I sent you, I told you the Rambam is quite loquacious. The Rambam over here deals with the whole world of ones umefata in the broader world of Jewish culture. Namely, that ones umefata is chayiv knas in a culture which is basically moral. But if you're dealing in a culture which is basically immoral, namely, that a father will tell his daughter, go ahead and sell yourself, or the daughter on her own decides that this is the oldest profession and she wants to take advantage of the fact that people are going to pay her for her favors, in such a situation, such a woman, even if she is still a basula, even if she never found anyone who would be willing to be with her, she doesn't get a knas. She is what's called a kadesha. She is what's called a woman of loose morals. She's mafkir herself. The Torah did not set aside a knas for such a woman. The Torah set aside a knas for a woman who views her role in a moral framework and who is and who wants to get married. And then the ones and the mefata, they hurt her chances of getting the proper shidduch. So they have to pay a fine. But if this woman is not interested in shidduchim, she's not interested in getting married, she's just interested in being a mufkeret, then there's no knas coming to you. That's the Rambam's chiddush. He's the only one who writes that. But the source of the Rambam is this Gemara. This is his source. This is the Yotzeis Mishum Shemra, that a woman who has a bad reputation, not just rumor, but we have Eidim, that she offered herself to these two Eidim, such a woman does not get a knas. Does anyone disagree with the Rambam black and white? The Ravid over there says that's not a kadesha. A kadesha is a professional prostitute, a woman who is simply a hippie, part of free love, you know, it simply just is willing to offer herself to whomever and whatever without necessarily it being a business deal. That's not a kadesha. The kadesha is the woman who is in the kupa, shel zonot. And the Ravid learns our Gemara, Kanira, like everyone else, that because she offered herself to two people, and Shchiche Pritze, that's why we assume that someone took her up on her offer and she's not a Basula. Okay? So according to the Rambam, even if we're dealing with the Basula, the moment she's Mafkir herself, she loses her Knas. According to everyone else, she only loses her Knas if she's a Basula. What difficulty is there in the Sugya according to the Rambam? Which two words in the Gemara make sense 100% according to all Rishonim, but L'chora are a bit difficult within the Rambam? Shliche Prutze, Nachon. According to all Rishonim, that's why she has a Cheskas Be'ula. Because even though these two Eidim, she went to the wrong two people, right? She stopped in the Beis Medrash and spoke to two people in the Beis Medrash. They say, well, that's Osir. We're not going to get involved in Yisurim. But if she goes to Tachna Merkazit, she'll find people who would be willing to live with her. So we assume she's a Be'uga. But according to the Rambam, what Shchiche Pritzi? Who cares whether she's a Basula or a Be'uga? Who cares whether anyone was intimate with her? The Iker is that she's my herself. That's the issue. So my nafka mean if Shlichei Pritzin or lo Shlichei Pritzin, who asked that question? And the back of the Gemara, excuse me, on the Rif, the Ran brings up the Rambam's Pshat, and he asked that question. It's a very powerful question. Anyone have a possible answer to that question? Again, within the world of the Rambam. Let me. We read Perek Beis, Halacha Yud Gimel. Ani Omer, says the Rambam, Sheze shenemar b'torah t'chal l'esbitcha l'asnosa sh'oyomar ha'av ho'il v'lochiyah v'torah mefateh v'ones elo yitein mamon la'av harini socher biti ha'besula l'azeh l'avo aleha b'chol mamon sh'artze ani achzeh l'avo aleha b'chinam esh ol adam l'imchol mamono, that this daughter belongs to me, the knas is coming to me, so I can decide, I can decide who I want to give my daughter to be intimate. For nothing, for a favor, for money, it's up to me. Kach ne'amar, al tachalol esbitcha. That's aser. Zechiva atar lo'onis ha'mefate mamon v'lo malkos, v'sh'ira dvar mikre shelo gada'as aviya, lo hechina atzma l'kach. That the knas is only in a situation that was unexpected. It wasn't to set up a framework of an immoral society. The whole society will be totally immoral. We'll have no concept of a family, no concept of yuchsin. That's not a question of money, that's but Malkos. Even if she's a Besula, if she's Mafkir herself, she's ready, just no one took her up on the offer. That's a Kadesh. There are two Eidim that she was Mafkir herself. In terms of the broadness of the Rambam, why over here would he mention Shchiche Pritze? Excellent, right. Namely, if you're dealing in Kelm, okay, I assume Kelm, you know, was a special place. You know, it's in Kelm. She could go around offering herself to every person in the street. No one would ever take her up on her offer. At some point, she'll realize either she's crazy or they're crazy, and maybe she'll be chazer to tshuva. Namely, what the Rambam is speaking about is a person who joins a subculture. That there's a subculture out there of hefkerus. Everyone knows there are subcultures of hefkerus. Right? That Herzl said what would be the sign of a good Jewish Medina, that there would be crooks and thieves and prostitutes, etc. We made it, right? That we also have this subculture of hefkerus. So shchiche pritze is a necessary condition for either the father's bringing the daughter into this culture or the daughter herself being in this culture. If there would be no shchiche pritze, it wouldn't be able to last on its own. She would just not be able to fit in to Kelm. She would fit in to Las Vegas, she would fit into Los Angeles, she wouldn't fit into Kelm. And so over here, that's why the Rambam would say, Shlichei Pritzei, and therefore it's irrelevant whether, even if she's Ne'eneset, even if she is raped, but it's not the point that this was Neged Ritzona. The point is that she was Mafkir herself, that she is, you know, willing to live with anyone Mi Ritzona. So then in this situation, there's no Knas. Okay, that's what we have over here. What I sent you to, and this I'll just mention very, very superficially and briefly, is okay. So in terms of the woman, we have this woman who was a Yatza Shem Rabbi Aldusa with Edim. According to 99% of Rishonim, she's a Be'ula. According to the Rambam, she's a Kadesha. Let's go back to the Shtar. So we say that if the person who wants the Shtar to serve in his favor goes over to two individuals and asks them to sign the shtar, then, even if they say no, we're afraid maybe he forged the shtar himself. So what does that mean? That this person never, never is able to use a shtar? In other words, let's take the parameters. Does it mean that if we find a shtar on the name of Reuven with the same amount of money that this person tried to create illegally, will say, that's the shtar raya. But any time there's a different amount of money or a different person, why should we assume that there is a chisaro? Or do we go all the way to the other side? Any shtar, this person who is already in front of Eidim, is a chuchsa kafran, none of his shtaros are good. And then we have a question, what if a two Eidim will come and say, that's our signature? Will that allow the shtar to go through? Or we say, maybe he's such a good forger that they'll say, hey, that's my signature. I don't remember signing that shtar, but that's my signature. Namely, if they're mekayim the shtar, is that also something that we would undo the shtar? These are machlokos rishonim. That's what you have in the Ran, in the Rush, in other words, all of the various options. The Ran brings all the extremes. Perhaps even if the shtar is mekuyam, even if the Eidim say it's our signature, we say, well, he's a great forger, and he's muchzak, that he wanted to forge the shtar, and therefore no shtar of his is ever going to be good, even if Eidim say they signed it. The other extreme, we have the possibility that it only applies to the same amount, the same person, very, very, very local halacha, rather than being a broad halacha. Okay, so those are the unim within the Rishon. Okay, I'm sorry, I have to go now. I appreciate your patience for my not feeling well. If you'll pass these out, I'd like, if possible, that we'll try and get next time from the Mishnah over here on Lamed Vav Amud Beis all the way to the two dots. All the way to the two dots, about three quarters of the way down, and Daf Lamed Zayin Amud Aleph. In terms of Rishonim, again, first let's learn the Gemara Bekiyas with Rashi, and then, as you're going through Tosfos by Tosfos, learn the parallel Tosfos in Tosfos Harosh. Sometimes Tosfos Harosh is only a question of a slightly different syntax. Sometimes I just ask a different question. But in our sugya, he has a different approach. And then there is a Rambam and a Ramban that I ask you to look at. And I'll probably add Mar Makamos, but that's certainly enough to keep you going. Shir Mitzvah Hashem will be on Wednesday, it's Tanya Sester. Let's say about 10 minutes after davening ends. I assume no one's running back for breakfast, right? So about, I get about the Slichos on Tanya Sester on Wednesday. So let's assume about 9:15. It must be Koveya. Shir will be 9:15 on Wednesday morning. I'm not sure whether there'll be shir the following Sunday. You have to tell me whether you're going to have time to prepare for shir. That's really the issue. It's not a question. Sunday, I hope to be here. But Wednesday is time to assess there. People get weak. And Thursday is a Purim. And so and Friday is our Purim. Okay. Health permitted, I hope to give tomorrow after Mincha an overview of Hilchos Purim, and to speak about what happens when Purim comes out on Friday. For those who stay in Yerushalayim, this is going to be 3 out of the next 4 years, unless Mashiach comes, and we're going to be in the Kaddish Lechodesh Al Pi Re'iya, and then we'll see what Chazal will do. Okay, so we have it.
Yeah, I guess.